As we were driving over this morning and coming down County Road 592 right before the railroad tracks, there was a sign which I'd never seen before, I think it was new, on a mailbox. And it basically said, "Are you pleasing to God?" And as I thought about that, it was just sort of really a prologue to sort of the message of today's readings. Are you pleasing to God? In the last couple of Sundays, we have been talking about, our readings have been talking about what it is, what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to be one of his followers. We've been taught to love God with our whole heart, our whole minds, our whole souls, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Not just basically the people that we know and love, but the enemy, the Samaritan. And sort of that continues today, in which we sort of have the story of Martha and Mary. And yet, you know, it's sort of maybe, how does this sort of tie in? And I think it sort of ties in because, you know, as we talk about sitting there and giving honor and praising and being close to God and serving God, you know, there seems to be two paths, or really three paths. The first path, we'll say, is the path of Martha, in which, you know, we sit there and we show our love for God by our good works, by what we do, by the example that we give, by the example of, you know, when we are a good father or mother, when we are good brothers and sisters, good children, when we are obedient and loving neighbors and friends, helpful with one another, when we give a good example at work of what it means to be a follower of Christ, in our honesty, our dedication, our work ethic, in a way in which we treat others, in the language we use, and just, you know, the way in which we show ourselves. There's all ways in which, you know, we sort of treat others as we would like to be treated, as we would treat Jesus. The other way is sort of the way of Mary. You know, as we would call it, sort of the contemplative life. You know, there's a couple times, you know, with some of my priest brothers, we would take retreats. And I remember once we went to basically with the Camaldolese, which was basically an order of men, didn't speak. You know, only one person would speak to you. They were basically a contemplative order. That their role in life was they would get up at 4 o'clock and they would begin their day with prayer. And so 6 or 7 times during the day they would stop, they would gather, they would pray. And the rest of the time, you know, they would do menial tasks. They did farming, they, you know, baked bread, they made wine. They had different things in which they would serve the Lord. And, you know, really, this was sort of their way of life. Their life was sort of dedicated basically to prayer. And when they weren't praying, then they would be sitting there and working and offering God a prayer. And our third way is sort of maybe what's more touching to us, a sort of a combination of both. In which, you know, we are involved, very busy people. And so we have a lot to do, but the question is, do we also take time for what Jesus says is a better way of taking time to pray, of supreme prayer as a part of our day, for being prayer as a basis and the understanding of why we do what we do, of the work that we do, of the activities that we do, of the loving things, the charitable things, of the way that we treat others, is based upon our relationship with God, a relationship that is based on knowing Him and loving Him and spending time with Him daily in our prayers. That no matter how busy we are, we take time to sit there and remember we are Christians we are followers of Jesus, we are lovers of God, and that we sit there and how we live our life is an expression of how that we carry that out. In our first reading today, we hear the story of Abraham. And Abraham, you know, was a nomad, so they moved around and they lived in tents. And they lived in an area at this point which was very heavily traveled. I mean, there was a lot of foreigners who would come and go this way. There was a lot of people there. And the thing was, is that, you know, that they really depended upon each other. You know, Abraham depended upon the people to bring, you know, the things that they needed, that they could barter with and to buy and to sell. And these people needed them because, you know, they needed them to, because, you know, out in the desert, you need people to give you water and to give you shelter at times so that you can basically be able to make the journey. And so the thing is, he sees these three people, these three foreigners journeying, and he rushes out and says, would you stop and take some time and come and to have some water and to have some bread? Well, the bread turned into basically a real fancy feast. It was calf, you know, it was a real sort of banquet he gave to them. And they were pleased. And the thing was, it was Abraham who served them. It wasn't Sarah, it wasn't the slaves, it was Abraham himself. Because, you know, it was important to him. It was important to him to treat them like they were important out of his gift of faith. And so one of them promises us that when he returns again, that Sarah, his wife, who is barren, will have a son, will have a child. Now Sarah, she's sort of standing outside the tent, and she hears this. And she starts laughing. Now, she's basically up in her years. She's beyond childbearing. You know, how is this going to happen? So she laughs. And when she gives birth to her son, they named him Isaac, which means laughing. From that point on, the joke or comment was always made of Abraham, that he sees strangers as they were angels. And I guess that's sort of our call with the gift of hospitality. To sit there and to treat others as angels. As I was, you know, reading the story and thinking about it, I couldn't help to think about when I was in my third year in seminary, we were required to do, you know, it was called like an internship. And so I, along with another seminarian, we were taught religion at Cardinal Stritch High School up in Toledo, Oregon. And I lived in a parish. I think it was the Holy Rosary. And the parish had, you know, like this older priest. He was probably in his late 50s. And he had his housekeeper. And it was very interesting because, as I remember that, it was very much like our reading. Because, you know, the priest, he was about the spiritual things. He said Mass, heard confessions, visited the sick, you know, went over to the school and taught the kids, you know, counseled people. It was very much about, you know, the spiritual aspects of running the parish. But his housekeeper, it was interesting because she did everything else. Not only did she cook, not only did she keep a house, but she also basically ran off the bulletin, maybe counted the Sunday collection, made sure a lot of time the church was open and closed. Basically, she took care of the linens. She took care of the flowers at church. she led some of the ladies in the All Rosary Society who sat there and, you know, kept everything else up. And it was really interesting because, you know, if he moved, it would be a waste. However, if she moved, it was going to be, a real eye-opening experience. And as I think back, you know, there was a lot of parishes in our days back in, you know, this was back in the, you know, the early 70s, which are very much like that. You had the priest, and then you had the housekeeper. The housekeeper who usually went with the priest. If he moved, she would move. And it was always a very strange relationship sometimes that was between them. And they were very much like husband and wives, you know, without the sleeping together. As we reflect upon our readings, we are called to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord by our actions, by the ways in which we love and treat others, by the hospitality we offer not only to the people we know, not only to our family and friends, but to the strangers in our midst. To welcome those with us today. To welcome all of us. But we're also reminded that our actions are based upon a relationship with God. A relationship with God and Jesus that is based in taking time to listen, to pray, to speak, and to trust. To truly to be successful Christians, to be really strong followers of Christ, our life needs both. Let us live today, tomorrow, and the days to come as both a follower of Jesus but also as one in a close relationship with him through our prayers and our love and our readings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.